You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast, and we are going to wrap up tonight's show the way we kicked off the very first show of the year with my good friend and yours, Jared Taylor, the editor of American Renaissance, AmRen.com, fresh off his most recent triumph at the annual American Renaissance Conference, which was taking place as we broadcast live a week ago tonight. Jared, how are you, and welcome back.
I'm doing very well. It's great to be back in the cesspool.
It always is. We have it all cleaned out by the end of each three-hour broadcast, but, you know, they do fill it back up for us throughout the week. So our work is never done.
That's true. That's true. I entirely understand.
Well, thank you for that. Well, let's talk about it. Last week's conference, give us the official report.
Well, as you said, I thought it was a great success. We had just about as many people as we can pack into the auditorium there at Montgomery Bell State Park. And we had a crackerjack lineup of speakers, and everyone seemed to thoroughly enjoy himself. And Saturday night, we threw a party for everybody with drinks on us. And I think for some people, that's the only reason they come. They sit around their hotel rooms and don't care about who's giving a talk, but boy, they come for that party. No, I'm joking. I think everybody was there for the speakers, the fellowship. But no, we had a great Saturday night party. And Montgomery Bell State Park was probably the safest place in the entire state of Tennessee. We were so well guarded by the park police as well as state police. And I don't think even a ninja could have sneaked into through their perimeter.
I'll tell you what, Jared, we couldn't even sneak a phone call in there because we had a couple of people lined up to give us a live on the floor report last week. We did finally get Lana on the line, but it took a bit of doing. It is a very secure facility, so much so that cell phone reception and internet transmissions don't always make it in.
That's true. That's true. It's not a good place for wireless communication. But we were all there speaking face-to-face and did not need the wireless. And that was a great time. Well, one of the best things about American Renaissance conferences, I think, well, you've spoken at several and you've been to others. It's this sense of community and this sense of being among people who really understand. And I've told this story over and over again, but it's worth telling again in case there's even one of your listeners who hasn't heard it before. But I remember, this was back when we were having our conferences in the Washington, D.C. area, and somebody walked in, and it was maybe his second or third time, and he walked up to me and he says, "It's great to be among the living again." And that's the feeling.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, you cannot put a price on the camaraderie and, of course, the opportunities that our people have to gather together in a high-quality atmosphere with high-quality people to share in that fellowship. Those opportunities don't present themselves very often. And, of course, AmRen has been making those opportunities available as a premier event going back to 1994 now, and it's always something that people circle on their calendars each year and for good reason. But, yes, I mean, and as I always say, Jared, when you get people – high-quality people together, solutions and ideas present themselves when you're having that free-flowing exchange that can only come about when you are together, that you just don't get through email or phone calls or podcasts or live streams or even radio show appearances.
Yes, that's exactly right. There was the German media there, one of the state-owned television shows. They filmed every single speaker, and they interviewed me at some length. And they said, "Well, why do you even have to have these meetings? As if having these meetings was some kind of exotic and unusual and weird thing." And I said, "Well, why does anybody have meetings? You know, all groups have meetings because it's you just cannot have a an online existence. There's something absolutely vital about, well, the way Sam Dixon describes it, he says it's like pushing the embers together. And once the embers are together and you blow on them a little bit, then poof, it bursts into flame. And you get a kind of a reaction, a spontaneous combustion of a kind you simply can't get if you never have people meeting face to face. It's really a great experience. And as usual, your friend and mine, your dear friend and my dear friend, Sam Dixon, gave the final valedictory remarks and got his usual standing ovation. It was really a first-rate talk.
Yeah, well, and he's always there for good reason. You know, those are one of the guys I say, half-joking, but not entirely. You know, don't let him go before me, because there's some people you wouldn't want to live in the world without. But, yes, and congratulations again on the triumph of that and the networking that took place. And you just never know, because I can tell you, I was going through boxes recently and doing – I guess you could call it spring cleaning, but it was more like just going through everything I've accumulated in my life and just resorting and reorganizing. And I think it's important we do that from time to time. And I was going through some stuff from early in my career, and I was looking at I looked at several brochures or pamphlets from different events that we have spoken at, and I didn't even remember these events. But the fact of the matter remains that things develop at these events. People become more sharp. People become more well acquainted and familiar, and still sharp and steel. And again, not to belabor the point, but there are things that happen, things that transpire in terms of cooperation and whatever you want to call it, that that furthers you to a greater extent in person.
Yeah.
And we should have as many of these as we can. But where do we stand? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jared.
Well, and there's no question that our enemies certainly recognize how important and valuable these are, because they are expending such tremendous efforts to try to ensure that we cannot have gatherings of this kind. The Antifa was out. There must have been, off and on, maybe as many as 100 of them. Now, this time they were kept, well, they could have come within sort of vague spying distance of where we were, but mostly they stayed out at the entrance to Montgomery Bell State Park, and they tried to harass people who were coming in and out in their vehicles. But the security was out there in good force. They had men on horses. They had at least 5 men on horseback, and we called them the Cossacks. And they had men on ATVs cruising through the woods, making sure that nobody tried to make an end run around security and come into the conference facility. They really tried very hard. And there's about an hour and a half of raw footage that somebody who was among the demonstrators took. And it's quite fascinating to see how these demonstrators and Antifa just hate the police. They curse at the police. They behave in the most insulting way. It's really very, very clear who the good guys are, who the bad guys are.
I'd like to pick up with a quick, fleeting comment on that when we come back from this break. We have you for one more segment, and we are going to transition, though, and talk a little bit more about some of the other things you're up to when we come back.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no more.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And now it's time to return to the political cesspool.
All right, Jared Taylor, Amron.com. We are having him on 1 week to the day after his conference wrapped up, the most recent Amron conference, and taking the victory lap with him. You mentioned Antifa, though, Jared, just a moment ago. And I would like to say this about Antifa. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be much rehabilitation of any of the Antifa folks, and I think you have to write them off. But one thing that I do think about sometimes when I look at them, you can't help but consider how what is in one's heart and what is in one's mind reflects on their outward appearance. And you see what I consider to be the disease of modernity and self-hatred and how it has taken a toll and just ravaged them. Very unattractive people, slobby people. I don't say this to be, to take digs, but that, in many cases, overweight. But the fact of the matter is, most of them are overwhelming. They're whites. They're white people. And so that's such a pity. And you contrast that to the people at an American Renaissance conference who are well-adjusted, squared away, intelligent, good-looking, well-dressed, attractive people. But there is something about that. And I guess I'm stabbing around it, perhaps not putting my finger right on it, but something about what is in our hearts and minds, how it emanates in our outward appearance as well.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. It's a tragic thing. The real problem in this country, in fact, is white people. It's hard for me to blame a Guatemalan who tries to get in.
Absolutely.
They've made a mess of their country, and our ancestors made a wonderful country here, and it's not surprising that they want to come. But it is white people who think that anybody who staggers in here has got a claim to it, that the United States is up for grabs for whoever wants to come. A lot of white people who think that. And again, all of these people who think that we are cooking up genocide, or we're secretly burning crosses, or our plan is to make life miserable for black folks, although they're all white people. There's usually Daryl Jenkins. Daryl is usually there, and I think he was there this time around, but I'm not sure. But mostly it is these weird, maladjusted, funny-looking, odd-smelling white people who are out there trying to persuade the state of Tennessee to kick us out of a public park. It's really a very, very difficult thing. People have demonstrated, and people have been opposed to American Renaissance for some time, but it's really been since the election of Donald Trump that they've been out not only in such force, but have had such a violent tinge to them. You know, when we used to first get demonstrators at American Renaissance conferences, they would stand out on the street and they'd hold up their signs and they'd accuse us of being Nazis, and they were funny looking too. But when the police showed up, they didn't curse the police, throw things at them. They did not have this vicious, anarchist, really, ultimately nihilist, destructive streak to them, which seems to have really become an important aspect of so-called anti-racism. It's a disturbing phenomenon. I honestly don't know why our opponents have turned so nasty, but in a way it's a gift to us, because there were television crews there from the local TV, and they interviewed them. They interviewed them one evening, and then they came by and they interviewed us. And the contrast is just so startling. Just so startling. Even the most blinkered liberal, I mean, so long as he's just not a committed Antifa and bomb-throwing type, is going to look at them and look at us and think, good grief, am I supposed to be on the side of these crazed maniacs and opposed to these squared-away, nice-looking, well-dressed, well-spoken people? No, they're... If I were George Soros, or if I had a pipeline to George Soros, I'd say, hey, I think you ought to give Antifa another $1 million. You know? Yeah. The more they get themselves in the faces of ordinary people and of the police, the happier I am.
Well, again, I mean, that's it. I think if you wanted to make a case, and there is something to be said for the sizzle versus the steak, the presentation versus the message. It's nice when one can reinforce the other, but it's not just window dressing. And I think if somebody can just look at the people that go to an AMRIN conference and just look at the people that oppose it, and you don't even have to have any conversation, just look at the two sides, and I think normal people are going to know which side is in the right. Now, Jared, most of the things we're talking with you about right now are your in-house production. We're obviously talking about the AMRIN conference because it's a current event. It just took place. We'll have to have you back on in very short order to talk about current events outside of what you're up to personally, because there's always so much content out there, and again, we do live in interesting times. But can you very quickly, with just the 2 or 3 minutes we have remaining with you, and I know we don't have any more time than that tonight, but is there anything you can update us on with regards to your litigations with Twitter, with anything that you're involved doing that may be of interest to the audience?
Well, the Twitter litigation is pretty much at a dead end now. We're considering whether or not to appeal some negative rulings, but we're not going to make a decision on that for some time. As soon as we do, we will make an announcement. The litigation we have against the state park, on the other hand, has gone very well. As your listeners probably know, the state park wanted us to pay for at least part of the additional security that's required at our conferences because of these wild demonstrators. And there's very, very clear Supreme Court precedent that says, no, you can't do that. Because, in effect, if you are going to charge people with controversial views security to keep the peace, then, in effect, it makes it impossible for them to express themselves. It's called a heckler's veto. And so long as the opponents of a controversial group can persuade the authorities that they're going to be out in force and it's going to require lots and lots of security to keep the peace, then in effect, they don't even have to turn out. But if the authorities spend money on that and then turn right around and bill the people who are going to have a meeting, then that shuts them out. And as I say, the Supreme Court's been very clear about that. That infringes our rights of freedom of speech. But so we got a very good preliminary injunction on that, and the state cannot bill us for the expenses due to the presence of these wild Antifa. Now, we have to do a little bit more litigation to make what was a preliminary injunction a permanent injunction, so that they can.
And that yes,
yes,
yeah. I was interested to know about that, because a preliminary injunction is just that. You want to make it permanent, and you're working with haste to get to that end. And so far, so good on that front.
So
correct.
So far, so good. And you know, this was a Clinton appointee, a Democrat judge, but somebody who really seems to take the Constitution seriously. So on a question as clear-cut as this, it doesn't seem to really make much of a difference whether it's a Democrat or Republican. The constitutional issues are clear, and in a way, the state of Tennessee was really stupid to try to do something that's so clearly against the rules. So we're pretty confident that we're going to prevail on this.
Well, we certainly hope so, and Godspeed to you on that. And, of course, the majority of Jared's appearance this evening, folks, was to recap the American Renaissance Conference. But if you want to read about it more in depth, go to amren.com. There you'll find a featured piece by Gregory Hood. A Triumphant Conference is the title of the piece. You can read about each and every speaker, what they spoke about in greater detail, and it'll be a perfect compliment to this interview that you've just heard with Jared Taylor himself. Jared, always good to talk to you, and we'll be counting down the days until we can do it again, starting about right now.
Yes, sir. It's always a pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much, and God bless everything that you do.
Thank you, Jared. We appreciate it. Jared Taylor, everybody, amren.com. Just off the most recent successful American Renaissance Conference, and I'm actually at the website right now, scrolling through the very article that we just made mention of. And I certainly hope that it goes the way he thinks and the way it has been going so far with regard to his litigation in the situation with the state park and their ability to use the facilities as is guaranteed to them. But we are increasingly living in a country where the law of the jungle prevails, and our tribe isn't in control anymore. So we'll see. But so far, so good. We'll be back with Jack Ryan next.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
More tornadoes are threatening the nation's midsection. WBBM meteorologist Ted Curran.
As we go into places like Kansas and Oklahoma and into Texas, and it's in this area that we have the biggest concern for tornado activity as we go through the day for today. We're also concerned about flooding as these rains have been coming through the same areas over and over again.
President Trump has begun a state visit to Japan. He's there to work out a trade imbalance between the two countries. He jokingly tells business leaders at a reception in Tokyo, maybe that's why you like me so much.
The relationship with Japan and the United States, I can say for a fact, has never been stronger. It's never been more powerful, never been closer.
He also says there's never been a better time to invest in the United States. This is USA Radio News.
This is Dr. Howard, founder and formulator of Balance of Nature. We're changing America one life at a time.
I wish they would have me do a commercial. I'm from the New York area, and we don't trust anybody. And I need to tell you, I certainly didn't trust you guys at first. After all, you're like out of Utah. I was like, what is in Utah, really? Then I heard some little old man saying, oh, I'm not fortune babies, and da-da-da-da. And I was so, you know, when you're in pain, you will try anything. And I said, let me try it. But I need to tell you that I'm jogging now. I didn't think I'd ever be able to do that again.
Through Memorial Day weekend, you can receive a $20 discount and free shipping on any first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Again, this special radio offer will only be available through May 27th. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
A GOP congressman has blocked a massive disaster aid bill that would have sent $19 billion to hurricane, flood, and wildfire victims. With more on this story, here's USA Radio Network's Rick Vincent.
Texas Congressman Chip Roy says the bill should have included President Trump's requested funding for aid to the southern border.
There's no reason this disaster supplemental should not have included the quite modest $4.4 billion that
director of OMB Vote, sent to Capitol Hill to ensure DHS and HHS do not run out of money while managing the over 100,000 illegal aliens crossing our border.
In a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, Nebraska GOP Senator Deb Fischer called on House leadership to reconvene immediately and call up a vote on the disaster relief bill. Senator Fischer worked to include flood-ravaged Nebraska in that bill, which passed the Senate with strong bipartisan support. For USA Radio News in Omaha, I'm Rick Vincent.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Perderti così come un attimo, mentre tutto va oltre i limiti della mia fantasia, tu che eri mia, voli e brividi, grandi sogni che forse realizzai, a che servono se tu non sei qui, qui con me.
All right, I don't know what we're listening to, but I kind of like it. That's Jack Ryan's musical selection tonight. Jack, can you sing like that?
The crowd is ripped. I can do karaoke. I can probably fool a lot of the crowd. Yeah, that's Andre Bocelli, Restituì. He's a popular classical Italian singer, and yeah, it's something accessible to Americans that I think that, you know, that our audience would like. And yeah, get it and get the music and do a little work. Again, get the crowd a little bit ripped. But yeah, in karaoke, you can impress the crowd if you can do Andre Bocelli, Restituì.
Keith thought that was you. Hey, I got to tell you, folks, before the show tonight, Jack was watching his alma mater win a baseball game. The Vanderbilt Commies came out ahead on the baseball game.
Vanderbilt Communists, right?
Well, I mean, their actual name is the Commodores, after Commodore Vanderbilt, New York shipping guy. He married a Southern gal after the Civil War, and his wife is in good faith, one of peace. They set up a university, my university, Vanderbilt, and so the name of the team was the Commodores. So our team is, the Commodores is too long, and so they say the nickname, how about them Doors? That's kind of a Southern one. That's kind of good. But most is like, the one is like the announcers.
That beats, you know, how about them Commies?
Yeah, well, that's my name. Basically, like, it's Vandy. That sounds really gay, like, you know, there. So I'm just thinking, like, instead our short name should be the Commie. That would, like, in,
yeah, we used to call them,
put fear.
At Ole Miss, we used to call them the Vanderbilt Pansies, or the Vandy Pansies.
You know, they have, yeah, but we're number one in the nation, so I'm sorry, you know, you can...
In baseball,
We're the number one.
Never in football.
Well, yeah, but that's because you guys have these steroid African, like, guys, like baseball.
And you don't?
Sport, yeah.
at least we don't have have half the team charged with rape, like they were at Vanderbilt a couple of years ago.
But that's why I don't follow SEC football anymore. So I want to promote other sports, baseball, hockey.
And Andrea Bocelli, or whatever his name was.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Hey, there's no doubt that was a good song. Well, I'll tell you, but there's one thing Vanderbilt and Ole Miss have in common is their desecration of Confederate markers on their campuses.
Cucking on Confederate monuments.
I know Vanderbilt renamed a hall recently that was named after the
Confederate hall.
The calls.
Yeah, he's got a terrible chancellor. He's the next University of Madison law professor. I don't want to name the ethnic religious group that he's a part of, but yeah, he's terrible. So that
you don't even have to.
But that's another fall, another case in the fall from grace is that you know, you're talking about the Vanderbilt whose name the university is, or for whom the university is named after, and it isn't Anderson Cooper of the Vanderbilt family. I believe he is.
No, Anderson Cooper. I mean, the Vanderbilt was a New York shipping magnate, but again, he wasn't. He was a white British like guy. He married a Southern gal, and I think that she was younger, and she pushed the one to try to promote Southern culture and heritage and try to bridge over the Civil War. So he wasn't into too bad Reconstruction or things like that. And so the Vanderbilt was a Southern school, and both I and my brother tried to get out of this northern place. We wanted to go to Southern school. He went to Duke, and I went to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt was still a Southern school in the 80s. You know, now it's just on the market. Kids go from, I don't know, it's still better than other places.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what happened to it, Jack, because I know I had a sister that went to Vanderbilt. Right. Back in the day, it was where the Southern gentry sent their sons and daughters to get a college education. The Bachelor of Ugliness, and I'm sure you know what the Bachelor of Ugliness is, right? The premier award for a senior male at Vanderbilt, at least it used to be. Right. Woods Eastland, the son of Mississippi Senator James Eastland, was Bachelor of Ugliness in 1967. He's also the model for the senator's son that Skeeter Phelan is supposedly dating in that despicable movie, The Help, that came out a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But see, what they did after that, what they tried to do, they wanted to stop being known as a place where the Southern gentry sent their children to get an education and turn it into a place where Jews from the Eastern Seaboard who couldn't quite make it, couldn't quite grab the brass ring and get into the Ivy League would go to school.
Well, none of this actually was what Jack was going to talk about. So
we got on to Vanderbilt, and that's what Vanderbilt has happened. See, these people are going to be terrible alums. They've got a chip on their shoulder about being there in the first place. They're not going to contribute to the school like the old constituency did. But, you know, that's exactly what the people that are running Vanderbilt deserve.
We'll always try to horn in on it. I mean, Harvard, when my grandfather went to Harvard in 1920, and it was a Christian Midwestern Eastern school. It wasn't Alan Dershowitz one. So these people are always,
that's right,
they're always going to horn in onto our place and try to change it. That's life, you know, but
that's why they were kept out in so many European nations in the past.
These things happen, but our baseball team did great today, and they're a good-looking team, and we're number one. And so Southern, I think SEC baseball is a really good sport, and I think it's been under promoted and to follow, but I think it's a very, very good sport. I would encourage our listeners to try to make the switch from football to baseball, because SEC football is not the sport of Archie Manning and Ole Miss and stuff. It's changed, but baseball is a good sport. So why not something that's good?
Well, let's be honest about it. It's the only majority white sport has any type of following.
Sports. I think that's
but I mean, of the four major sports, well, hockey, I guess.
Hockey, volleyball,
hockey,
rugby.
Yeah, but they don't play hockey in the SEC. Unless it's women's field hockey.
They should. I mean, and NHL hockey does very well in the South. The Nashville Predators.
Name,
but they made
that's
it
right
to the finals. Yeah, so why not? Why can't our Southern boys play hockey? They can learn to skate and stuff. Come on.
Well, I'll tell you why Southerners like hockey, because of the old expression. I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. That's what we love.
Yeah, I think we should play hockey and then do boxing. And our European are doing great in boxing, mostly British and Eastern Europeans, but they're doing very well. And again, this is another sport we can get behind, and we'll do well. But let's get back to our themes about tonight.
Yeah. By all means, we've butchered this segment.
Okay, so my music was Andre Bocelli, Rastiqui, and then my book recommendation is Virgil's The Aeneid, and he is the national patron saint of Rome when it came into a prominence early, right around 0 BC AD with Augustus and the like, and the Aeneid, I had to learn it. I took 2 years of Latin in high school and a year of Latin at Vanderbilt. So I'll say the beginning of the Aeneid in Latin, arma rerumque cano, I sing of arms and a man. And it talks about, what it basically is it's a complete copy of the Homer's Odyssey. And so these Romans, they conquered Greece, but their teachers and artists, they were slaves. They would put out the idea that Greek myths and Greek mythologies were great, and the Romans were uncultured guys. And the Romans got really pissed about that. So they tried to find their best poet, and it was Virgil, and say, we need a national myth to put these Greeks down. And so they wrote the Aeneid. It's a great one, but it is a copy of the Odyssey. It's about that there was a remnant of Troy when it was destroyed that went on these adventures in the Mediterranean and they ended up in the founding of Rome. But it's a good, you know, it's a good story, and that's he's the national poet of Rome, and so that's my recommendation. The book is Virgil's Aeneid.
So you're a Latin scholar, then? I'm glad to hear this.
I can't learn a foreign language in a classroom because I think in English you pick it up. But I love the culture. I love the history of Rome, and that was in the 70s when they had those great I, Claudius shows on the BBC. So you can say a few interesting quotes in Latin stuff, but I can't profess to be a think and speak in Latin or things like that. But, you know, it doesn't take much to be, again, a Renaissance man, a classic in this age of, like, television boob stuff. So, do you know, get your classic Penguin classics, look them up in the Encyclopedia Britannica. But the story and the myths are good, and they're worth following. And so Virgil's the Aeneid, that's my pick tonight. And if you can get this in, you'll impress your neighbors, and you're good.
All right, so drop the Kardashians and read Virgil.
All right, so we got the book, we got the song, and we got the baseball team. But do we have a movie recommendation, or we'll get to that after the break?
Let's get it after the break.
All right, stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Oh, Okay, last segment of the night. We had a little fun talking some baseball, a little impromptu in baseball.
And then Latin. All I got to was Caesar's Gallic Wars, and all I remember is Vini, Vidi, Vicum. I came, I saw, I conquered.
I know in Vino Veritas.
Gallus divided in partes tres. That was the start of Julius Caesar's. Gallus divided in three parts, and then he talked about the line. So I know the start of these great epics, but I sort of fall down after that.
Well, we talked about Jack's book and song recommendations. Now, he's got a movie recommendation, and he sent a clip to me. And I didn't know exactly what to do with it because I didn't. It was a couple of minutes long, and I didn't know if we were supposed to play the whole thing. I mean, they were talking about, I think Pontius Pilate was in it, and King Nebuchadnezzar. And Keith, do you remember Nebuchadnezzar?
No, he was a little bit before my time. He was in an earlier class. Yeah, I remember King Nebuchadnezzar. Right. Yes.
What did he do?
He codified the law.
Well. I thought that was Hammurabi.
Yeah, you're right. Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't he the king during the Babylonian captivity?
Well, he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah, he was there in the Babylonian. Yeah, that's right.
Shadrach into
the fiery furnace, and they were not burned.
And I'm pretty sure God turned him into a goat over that stunt.
An old goat, then. Okay, that's where the term old goat came from.
Well, anyway, I think Pilate was in this clip, and Pilate, I'll tell you, Pilate gets a bad rap in history.
Not in the clip, but can I?
Oh, he wasn't in the clip.
This one, right? So the just right. This is the movie recommendation I have is The Life of Brian by Monty Python. And Monty Python, these English troops are very, very intelligent, well read, and they're funny. And I think the main guys are pretty good. They're on the side, John Cleese and the like, and this. Clip. It presents a worldview. When it came right out, some American Christians and British thought it was blasphemous, but I didn't think it was. Jesus Christ only appears for 15 seconds, and he's doing the Sermon on the Mount, and he's being presented honestly, but it presents the reality that this is Roman-occupied Palestine, and the Romans are actually good civilization-promoting people, but they're trying to monitor this place that's populated by these other people who are confused and
wild,
mischievous and causing all kinds of trouble, and they're trying to do revolutions. And
well, at least it's accurate.
Romans, yeah, that, that they're such loyal Roman patriots, and the only king they have is Caesar, and the only bad person is Jesus. He's this troublemaker. He's trying to do this BS. They were trying to do a revolution and restore, like, the king of David and stuff. So this, it cuts in, and it gets in the concept of civilization, about what Indo-European people do for civilization and how the resentful people say, well, they're not doing enough or things like that. So is that enough to set up this these revolutionary terrorists that are trying to say that the Romans have oppressed them and things like that? Is that enough that we can do the clip?
I think you've done it. Now, do you want to play the whole 2 minutes?
Yeah, it's just 2 minutes.
All right, here we go. 2 minutes. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes. I want to play it from my side. Here we go. Well, hang on. I'm going to do it after this ad on YouTube plays. Stay tuned, everybody. Hang on, Keith. Here we go.
Main audience chamber here, and Pilate's wife's bedroom is here. Having grabbed his wife, we inform Pilate that she's in our custody and forthwith issue our demands.
Any questions?
What exactly are the demands? We're giving Pilate 2 days to dismantle the entire apparatus of the Roman imperialist state, and if he doesn't agree immediately, we execute her.
Cut her head off?
Cut all the bits off. Send them back on the hour, every hour. Tell them we're not going to be trifled with. And of course, we point out that they bear full responsibility when we chop her up, and that we shall not submit to blackmail.
No blackmail!
They let us white, the bastards. They take everything we had. And not just from us, from our fathers, and from our fathers' fathers.
And from our fathers' fathers' fathers.
Yeah.
And from our fathers' 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 fathers.
You're right, Stan. Don't labor the point. And what have they ever given us in return?
The aqueduct?
What?
The aqueduct.
Oh, yeah, they did give us that. That's true, yeah.
And the sanitation.
Oh, yeah, the sanitation, Reg. Remember what the city used to be like?
Yeah, all right, I'll grant you, the aqueduct and sanitation are two things the Romans had done.
And the roads.
Well, yeah, obviously the roads. I mean, the roads go without saying, don't they? Well, apart from the sanitation, the aqueduct, and the road,
irrigation, medicine,
education. Yeah, you're all right, fair enough.
And the wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something we'd really miss, Reggie. The Romans left.
Public baths.
And it's safe to walk in the streets at night, Reg.
Yeah, they certainly know how to keep order. Let's face it, the only ones who could in a place like this.
All right, but apart from the sanitation, the medicine, education, wine, public order, irrigation, roads, a fresh water system and public health, what have the Romans ever done for us?
Brought peace.
Oh, peace! Shut up!
I don't know, Jack. It went to a commercial break. hang on.
I loved it. That's
all right.
It's a defense of Western civilization, including colonialism, that you bring good things, sanitation, roads, and things like that. And these envious people always, you know, bad mouth you and say you don't do anything, and you're oppressed them. And civilization is a good thing, and we shouldn't apologize for bringing the civilization to most parts of the world. And when our civilization...
They need to fall on their knees in thanks to us is what basically it's
just,
coming to.
And did good stuff. And you're just like... And it's also... It does present my... I don't want to get into religious controversial. You'll never get evidence with it. But it does present my view about positive Christianity, which is that the Roman pagan world were good, and then Jesus came here... and then we can honor him, we can do his things like that, but we don't give away the classical world of Greece and Rome and this intrigue to say all Western civilization was bad, or these corruptions of Judeo-Christianity, Christian Zionism, or revolution theology. Like, no, those roads that the Romans made in 100 BC are better than the roads that are in Chicago now.
Why do you think that our enemies are anti-Christian? They're anti-Christian because Christianity is recognized throughout the world as the white man's religion.
Well,
the alternative name for Europe in most of the two millennium since Christ's death was Christendom. So that, and anyone who has a Christian faith got it from a white missionary or his ancestors.
Yeah, but I see what Jack's saying too, is that, you know, the pre-Christian civilizations in Europe were still better than even some modern day Christian countries in Africa.
Right. And the other segue I had into this is I'm trying to do a positive segment every week or on Oxfam, because you can get burnt out on negativity about just the negative things about that. So one of the really positive things is that the Russians, who are now openly Christian, have worked in Syria, which is where the Christian religion started, where the Apostle Paul preached the new Judeo-Christianity to groups of Greeks and Jews in Syria. That was lost to us. ISIS, the Palmyra is being destroyed, but the Russians and the secular Christian people have won in Syria, and the Russians are sending their classical orchestras to Palmyra to play classical Christian music, and say, like, we won in Syria. And so they've made themselves, Putin has been a defender of Christendom, and Syria has been reclaimed. So that's a really, really good thing. And that's really
Isn't it funny how the American establishment was very mocking of Russophobia back in the 1960s when they made the movie The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming,
sure,
when Russia was run by Soviet Jews. But and Bolsheviks. Well,
yeah.
But now that they have been booted and you have a Christian nationalist in charge of Russia, well, now Russia has become the great Satan again in their minds.
Well, they hate Russia, great Satan, just the same as they hate us. So they're desecrating Confederate statues and Confederate graves as they're trying to desecrate Russian or Serbian or Syrian, trying to destroy the ancient sites of the Christian monasteries in Syria. But the good news is, and I don't understand why Southern Christians can't just take the Christian side in the Middle East, but for some reason they can't. They've been bought off or whatever, but there in Syria, basically our side is won. And if you, I can show you the videos where they're celebrating it, but that is really, really good news. And so these things that we have to put up with, they don't put up with it in Russia now or in Syria. And the president of Syria is a very handsome Indo-European. He has to do Muslim things just because you do. But he and his wife are just very handsome, very well-dressed, very beautiful. He does protect the Christian community and Christian religious sites, and the Russians have gone there, and it's a victory. It's a victory for our people. So, yeah,
well, you make a really good point. The Christians now are the Russians, and we're the non-Christians supporting Israel.
Yeah, well, that gets to be a big, like, there. But it's not just the Zionists or Israel, but Saudi Arabia. They're on the same side. So, you know, again, I just want to play some good music, read good books, watch good movies, turn off CNN, don't worry about Harvey Weinstein and the porn industry and
yeah. Kardashians.
Yeah, you know, they're
watch baseball.
Yeah, watch
well,
baseball.
And Jack's going to have a good news item each week now, too, a little something positive he'll find,
that
in addition to the recommendations.
Yeah, and then I like, last week I did negative thing of PhD about there, but one is like, beware of fighting monsters. You yourself do not become a monster. And don't burn out on negativity.
All right, Jack, we appreciate it, buddy. For Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. We'll talk to all y'all next week. I'll have a little update on the TV situation. We'll let you know how it's going. Good night.